Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this New Year's Eve 2013. We're talking a lot about stories from the past year and do a bit of a year in review plus some of the headlines as well. We welcome your comments as always, roundtable@wamc.org. And let me introduce our panel to you this morning. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. Hope you're better. You were out yesterday, and happy birthday to
you,
Joe Donahue.
Thank you very much.
I think everybody knows that. You are our gift to WAMC, and thanks for doing all you do.
Thank you. Associate editor of the Times Union, Mike Spain, is with us.
Good morning, and
good morning.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. And political consultant Libby Post joins us as well. Good morning.
Good morning, Joe, and thank you to your mother. That's really who we have to thank, Alan, is his mother and father.
There's no giving us that gift.
There's no need to make a fight out of it.
Yeah. And you gave them a tax deduction.
Yeah,
right. That's right.
Just in the nick of time.
Right, another deduction.
Yes, that was always... shined upon on the other four. So let us start. I sent a whole bunch of things because it seems like there were, depending on the news source, there were a lot of different places where what people thought was the top story of the year. And obviously, it's very subjective. I was kind of surprised by some of the different picks. And some, you know, I understand, like the new Pope. Okay, I got that. Understood. But then in one, I believe it was the AP, I think it was the Jodi Arias trial, which I thought was interesting, which would overthrow things like the Boston Marathon attack. And again, I realize that these things are very, you know, subjective and stupid. But still, when we look at the top stories, it doesn't have to be a contest. We look at the top stories of the year. And I guess we'll just go around the room and see what you thought of was as the top story. And let's start with the editor guy.
Oh. Well, I'm in the camp that believes that the Snowden revelations probably is the biggest news story of the year. It seems like the gift that keeps on giving. It reveals so much.
Effect.
Yeah, a lasting effect. It has affected our relationship with other countries. It's certainly riled people in the U.S. and will continue. You know, it could even be more revelations for some time. We don't really know what he was able to get out and hand over and make public. But we'll find out more in the new year. But I think that has enormous ramifications. And, you know, I think the Pope's big, real big. I think, time will tell on what impact the Pope has and whether he's able to, spread his message in a way that results in, a better world like he's trying to do. But certainly I wish him well. But and certainly Obamacare, you know, was another big one. But I didn't think the trial of, you know, this gal that murdered her boyfriend and so graphically was, you know, it doesn't have much consequence. It got a lot of, viewership on cable TV and everything like that. But, you know, trying to look for impact.
But from a sociological point of view, you're absolutely right. And I think that this is a huge difference. What the biggest story was versus the most important story.
Mm. Right.
I mean, certainly, you know, I agree with you. The Snowden revelations are the most important. But I would hate to stand out on that well-known corner I talk about and take a poll and say, who is Snowden, you know, to the American people, whereas I think you're murderous or would-be murderous or...
She is.
I don't even remember what happened.
She was guilty.
She committed murder.
Yeah. It's far less important than that, because what the government is doing that we don't know about creates, and I've said it before, creates with us a sense that, how can you have a democracy if we don't know what we're doing? And what we're finding is that Snowden and WikiLeaks are terribly important because all of a sudden they were game changers and incredibly important. So if we're looking for important, I couldn't agree with you more. If we're looking for, and one other thing, the stupider that the that people allow themselves I don't know, this is not quite right. To get, yeah. Thank you, Libby.
The more Nancy Grace talks about a story, the more important it is going to be to the people you're talking about.
But only because we don't pay attention.
Right.
Only because, you know, if you know American history, if you know something about economics, which few of us do, if you do all of those things, then you would never think that Arias was a huge story. But the less you know, the more you're going to be
hooked. Yeah, and that kind of goes with what you say. I've heard you say this many times, Alan, and certainly in a political realm, that the issues that seem to capture the most, especially in a campaign, are the issues that people understand, that it's clear, it's black and white. And if you have to think about it too much, then people don't want to be bothered with that. Right. And I guess, you know, when we think of the stories that we're not even mentioning of Syria and the Philippines mm-hmm. and all of the, you know, some really serious stories that have happened, but they're far more complex.
And when you look at history, and then we learn so much about what was really happening when we thought we knew what was happening at the time, who the interveners were, who was getting bribed, you know, how all of that was happening, then you realize our sense of news is not always as prescient as we might think.
What do they say? It's the first draft of history.
But by who? Rupert Murdoch?
Well,
look at the population of reality shows.
Yeah.
And the Jodi Arias trial was a reality show. And it's easy to understand. She did horrible things to her boyfriend. They showed the pictures on television. Nancy Grace explained it to everybody, and she was guilty, and it was easy to understand. And so were all the other reality TV stupid shows that are on, you know. And I do think, and this gets back to what you were saying, Alan, people don't want to think anymore. They don't want to do the analysis. They don't want to delve. They want things spoon-fed to them so that they just know that they're okay. And we can keep going on doing what we're doing. And if I think too hard about all this other stuff, it means I'm going to have to take a stand.
But you're exactly right. But, you know, when you think about education reform, we got a new chancellor in New York City. And what is she saying? You got it all wrong. Mm. That's what she's saying. You got it all wrong. Mm-hmm. And what you just said just strikes a chord, I think. Because if we don't teach people how to think, as opposed to just make change,
that's right.
We are really in a bad spot.
You need to know where you've been before you know where you're going. And I have found myself saying that to the younger folks in the LGBT community many times in the last few years, because everybody thinks that they have invented a new wheel. Mm-hmm. And there's been so much that has gone on. And I know gay marriage is one of the top 10s, at least for the AP. And it is a tremendous impact on our community. But people really need to start reading more. They need to start thinking. They need to just stop accepting what folks like us and folks like Fox News say is fact. They need to think about it a little bit more.
Well, how do you teach people to think more?
That's a really good question.
No. I think it's doable.
Yeah.
I think it's doable if you talk about education, if you talk about our approach to education. The business community is really upset about the fact that our kids aren't educated.
Right.
But they're not upset that they're not thinking. They're upset that they can't make change.
Right.
And that they can't, do the science that they need to have done. But the thinking part of it is something that our teachers do well if they're allowed to do it well.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with the top stories of 2013. We'd love to hear your thoughts as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break.
Support for WAMC comes from the law offices of Reed & Vella, Del Mar, New York, providing legal services in estate planning, estate administration, elder law, and asset protection. 518-439-6001. And Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health, a nonprofit educational retreat center dedicated to empowering people and communities through wisdom and the practice of yoga. Kripalu.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel, our year-end panel for 2013, the end of the year as we know it, and I feel fine.
Can't wait for 2014.
No, that's right.
A few more hours.
You were saying something. I don't know how. I don't want to. How did you say it again, Alan? Because you said it very nicely, and now I don't want to butcher it. But it's the difference between what a story.
The importance of a story.
The importance of a story versus.
The attention it got.
The attention of a story.
Sure.
And you look at something like the rollout of healthcare was certainly a story that dominated healthcare. The Obamacare dominated the headlines for a good portion of 2013. But that is one of those stories that you wonder, well, how much, you know, you hope, and I'm certain that the administration hopes that it will not be a story, at least negatively, in 2014.
Well, so there was a poll, I guess it was David Gustina, it may have been you, who mentioned this poll that showed Obama is the most has the most respect of any public figure in the United States right now, 16%. And people go down there, that old hound dog Clinton gets 4%, not him, her, him. It's amazing that there is, beneath all of the garbage, respect for the fact that this is the hardest job in the United States to do. I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want to be briefed as to what terror possibilities there were every morning, you know, in the White House. I think it was not a good decision for Obama to waste his popularity on Obamacare. I think it should have been Medicare for All. I still think that. And that the Republicans in some ways trapped him into this complicated Verschlugene program that was not understood and will never be properly understood by people, but did get 49 million people onto the rolls if they choose to go onto the rolls. This is a terribly difficult job. And sometimes the guys who are the most thoughtful get the most clobbered. For example, you take a look at Jimmy Carter. Surely one of the most thoughtful guys who ever was president of the United States tried to do the right thing and will go down in history as a loser.
Well, you know, he was ahead on a lot of things. If we had adopted his approach on energy, think how much better off we would have been today.
Yeah.
It's taken us maybe 40 years to get back to where he was pushing us, to use more solar energy and energy.
But the fact that he did, the fact that he did, wherever we've gotten to, really, he was the impetus. Like Mike Bloomberg, some of the stuff he was losing on, the sodas and the size and the rest of it, stuff that sets an agenda forever.
Yeah, that's true. And it also, it's not just having the right idea. It's being able to promulgate a program where you can, where it gets adopted, that's where Obama will probably get his biggest, darts as history goes. He wasn't able to accomplish everything that he was trying to accomplish. And perhaps he should have been cozier with the other side and better negotiator.
Oh, I don't think they were allowing
cozy. They weren't opening the door and the blanket wasn't out on the picnic either. I mean, let's be real here. Being cozy with those
guys.
It
was no Ronald Reagan, Tip O'Neill.
No. It's like the Jets and the Sharks. I mean, really.
Yeah.
The coziness would have been the sharp side of a knife. So, no, I don't think that was happening. I think that he's gotten a lot done, and I know some people would call me an apologist for the president, but I think he's gotten a lot done against some incredible odds.
Should he have gotten more credit for Syria?
In what respect?
We didn't end up going into another war in the Mideast.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
People are complaining about his indecision, so-called indecision, during that crisis, the peak of that crisis for the U.S. involvement. And the fact that we are not on the ground in Syria, I think, is ultimately a good thing as we start 2014.
Mm-hmm. And what are we going to do in the Sudan?
Because the truth is we don't have the slightest idea of what the hell we're doing.
Yeah.
How can you say we should take the side of the rebels when, in fact, the rebels are the same guys who turned on us after Afghanistan and became Al-Qaeda and all the rest of it?
And the story that we sort of talked about yesterday about Libya and Benghazi, we helped those guys who then bombed the...
Mm-hmm.
bombed whatever it's called, the embassy.
But the American people are clear on one thing: stay out.
Yeah.
Every poll is showing that that Libya and all the rest and Syria are in fact worse perceived than the Vietnam War was.
As far as I could tell, the only quote unquote good news story to come out, the only positive story was that of Prince George being born on the bus.
Oh, the Pope was a good story.
Yeah, that's right. The Pope was a
gay marriage was a really good story.
Well, that's true.
Come on, Utah. I mean, that was a great story.
Well, well, I had no idea Utah was the next state.
Yeah, right. Neither was I.
To cross the line.
Some of those are a little more controversial.
Yes, but they were. It was a good. It was a feel-good story.
Well, you know, this is going to be taken the wrong way.
Not from you.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. To each of us, some stories are more salient than the others.
Absolutely.
In other words, what is it that would make me walk into a polling place and vote against a candidate because there are a myriad of issues? Which one would make me vote that way? In my case, it's always been a woman's right to control her own body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find somebody who's opposed to that, and I, you know, I'm saying that's not for me.
Right.
So in your case, it may be, you
know. It's that and gay rights, those two issues, choice and gay rights.
Yeah. So each person has their own sort of litmus test, and that is what each of these politicians has to figure out, you know, if they're going to get elected. In New York City, de Blasio figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tale of two cities.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. We'll talk a little bit more about this year, and we have some local stories to look back on as well. Mike will help us with that. And much, much more. We welcome your comments, as always, roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage or our Facebook page or by tweeting us at WAMCRoundtable, but simply roundtable@wamc.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, and Libby Post make up our panel this morning. It is our end of the year go around and trying to make sense of what has happened over the past 12 months. And when we fail at that, we will start anew on Tuesday and trying to make sense of the coming 12 months and see how we go from there. We have we've been talking in the first part of our discussion about international and national stories that were top stories of the year. And Mike, of course, as associate editor of the Times Union, you've also done the same thing on a local level and sort of looked at not just this, not just Albany, but the entire region of really the top story.
Well, I should preface this by saying it's also somewhat anecdotal and random, and there's going to be stories left off the list that should have been on it and stories on the list that people will say, why is that story on the list, you know? And then when you try to assign an order to it, it becomes another problem, you know, because everybody has a different sensibility about what's most important. But I'll really quickly go through what we regard as our top 10. And number 10 was St. Patrick's Church in Watervliet being torn down. It was a great relic built back in the end of the 19th century, and people tried to keep it open, but the diocese, the Albany Roman Catholic Diocese, had a process and determined that that was not a good idea to keep it open because they had declining attendance, and they had other churches nearby, and they decided to consolidate, not involving that property. Other efforts to use it failed.
But of course, Mike, that goes on virtually around the country now,
right?
Where you know, the church, under tremendous pressure, has had to make decisions.
Right, and it was a very unpopular decision. It was one that involved the community, but many in the community did not agree with, and it was torn down to make way for a supermarket and some other buildings that will be opening in Watervliet probably. At least construction will begin in 2014.
So if you're listening to the show in Springfield, where's Watervliet again?
Watervliet is a city just north of the city of Albany, but Springfield and all over New England dioceses are having to decide the fate of inner city churches as Catholics have moved out to the suburbs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so It's a big story in that regard, and it got a lot of attention because there were court fights, et cetera. We have number nine is the scandal that taints Albany. It certainly was important. It was a tsunami of sleaze, according to our state editor, Casey Seiler, and it prompted Governor Cuomo to propose all kinds of reforms. And, of course, you're talking about lawmakers getting implicated in bribery and efforts to sell elections and sell nominations. You also had Assemblyman Vito Lopez, who was forced to resign in May because of inappropriate behavior with his staff. And
which
then
they call him Gropez.
Right. And they had to cover it up, and there's been some
and
work.
Grabishak.
Right, Grabishak, right.
Yeah.
So that's an allegation that is certainly surfacing about a Western New York assemblyman, Democratic assemblyman. We chose as number eight the big celebration last summer to mark the 150th anniversary of the race course in Saratoga Springs. It's a big part of the region's history, of course, it's worth attention.
And a big part of the advertising base of the Times Union, right?
Right. And it's a big part of the
For seven to eight weeks.
Just what I might mention.
But it's a regional. It draws people from throughout New England, as you know. And then Albany's Civic Center at the end of the year, a much scaled-down version of the big Civic Albany Convention Center that had been in the works for down in an area just east of the Empire State Plaza. Now it's going to go on a 1.3-acre site right near the Empire State Plaza and the Times Union Center Arena, and it's going to cost less, but it makes a lot of sense, and it does kind of put an end, a nice ending to Mayor Jerry Jennings' 20 years as mayor, that this is going to actually happen, and groundbreaking is set for July.
I just want to mention that that's true, except that it also points in all of our cities to, about Pataki and Jennings and all these guys, I'm sure meaning well, decided that all emphasis to the downtown of Albany as opposed to the neighborhoods. And so I think that there's something to be said about that, too.
And I have to say, you drive down North Pearl, and there's a lot of empty storefronts now. And it's really something.
Mostly,
yes.
I hate to say.
Yeah, and there's a glut of open square footage in downtown Albany, and I think that the neighborhoods have suffered because of this and
the efforts to promote downtown.
Yes,
of what that used to be.
Right, unless you have people living downtown.
Mm-hmm. Which they try to do.
And they're trying to get there.
I haven't gotten to that one on the list yet, but it's
okay,
on there.
Okay, fine. But that's what needs to happen. People need to live downtown in order for there to be a real vibrant downtown and not just bars.
Well put. I can't disagree with that. Another big, number six, a big story was gaming. Mm-hmm. New York State jumped into the casino gambling realm, like some neighboring states around it, and now there's going to be more competition with Massachusetts and Connecticut because of this. Voters approved a constitutional amendment, and they're hoping that in the first part of 2014, all the rules will be laid out and all the requirements will be laid out, and they'll be considering sites for gaming centers or casinos, Las Vegas type.
Does anybody
casinos.
Really think we're going to be better off because of this?
Well, I think that there were significant arguments made that this really will just shift where the money to government comes from, and it will hurt the poor, and it really won't do a lot, and we'll have a lot of negatives. And yet others say it's a reality. Our neighbors in Massachusetts and Connecticut are doing it. The Native American casinos are already pulling a lot of money in. So New York needs to get into this game to compete with its neighbors. So.
Or as my mother would say, they're all doing it now.
Right.
Well, what's interesting, one little point is, while Saratoga celebrated this summer 150 years of betting on horses, that community voted no on the casino, and they don't want one.
That's right. Saratoga County and Saratoga, the city of Saratoga Springs, have voted against it. But now there's a movement in Saratoga Springs to kind of reverse that and say, but if there's going to be one in the region, it should be here or we're going to lose.
So yeah, there's always elements in each community which are either win or lose based on that.
That'll be interesting.
That's a lot of lobbying money going on.
Number five was the culmination of a major story that actually began in 2012, and that was the tragedy on the Northway where two Shenandoah High School seniors, Chris Stewart and Deanna Rivers, were killed. And the controversy spilled into to 2013 as the person driving the other vehicle in the crash, pled guilty to all the charges against him, vehicular manslaughter and, you know, driving while intoxicated, et cetera, and texting while he was driving when this accident happened. Mm-hmm. And he was sentenced from to 5 to 15 years in prison. A lot of people disagreed with that. They thought it was too lenient, but he did plead guilty to every charge against him, and it led to a movement, a petition trying to get the judge to make it a harsher sentence, but that was the sentence, and it was a big story.
And by the way, it's a good story for us to all remember for tonight.
Yes, actually very timely, yes, to talk about the perils of driving while intoxicated. And the big story in Albany was that Kathy Sheehan was elected to the top spot in the city. She's going to become the first woman mayor, and she's the first one in recent history who wasn't born and raised in Albany. There had been some in the past, but not in the last 100 years or so, at least. Kathy Sheehan was able to win 80% of the vote in November. Of course, that's because she was the Democrat who won the primary. but it is an important shift. A woman in charge taking over for Jerry Jennings, who's been there 20 years. She's got a lot of challenges ahead of her, but she's the kind of person who brings professionalism, you know, from the private sector into the office, and it'll be interesting to see how
she does. I've interviewed her, and I think she's terrific, but I have mm-hmm. to tell you, the one thing that I think people are going to be looking at Bill de Blasio in New York and Kathy Sheehan here is what happens to crime. When you start mm-hmm. talking about community policing and a whole bunch of new ideas, if it means that people are going to get less protection one way or the other, I think that would be the kiss of death for both of these people.
Well, yeah, I think that even under the Jennings administration, the police department's been making enormous progress working with the community,
yeah.
and I can't imagine that direction would change under the new mayor. I heard nothing to suggest that she wouldn't continue that strongly.
I'm just saying.
The other thing about Kathy.
Just saying.
The other thing about Kathy is that she's continuing this trend of women executives mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. cities.
You know
Stephanie Miner,
sure.
the woman up in Rochester.
Mm-hmm. Great hero, Stephanie Miner in Syracuse.
Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the Rochester woman's name mayor, up yeah. in Rochester, but, you know, there's three big
Beautiful.
Upstate cities.
Yeah.
Right, you
know,
and it's great.
And there is some sense that women, as chief executives, run things differently. They're more inclusive and take a few different tacks that might be very interesting to see in Albany. Albany certainly needs some things. It's facing some big budget problems, et cetera.
Do you think?
By the way, Mike,
yes.
and maybe you can The mayor will end today, and they have a walkout ceremony. Is that what it's called? Is that the official name of it?
Yeah, with his little box.
A walkout ceremony.
It's a big thing in Albany where people leave their post and they have bagpipes and, you know, they have a crowd.
That just seems like an odd name for it.
Well, it doesn't happen too often.
It's the walkout.
You know?
Is that 12:30?
That's right.
It really doesn't.
We haven't seen in our lifetime very many.
More than two.
Walkouts.
Is that City Hall at 12:30? Is that where
it's today? Today just,
and Erastus never walked out. He was
right.
carried out.
Yeah.
Sadly, he died in office.
Right.
But it was, yeah, I mean, people aren't used to this kind of transition. You had Erastus Corning was mayor for 43 years, and you had Tom Whalen, I think, was 8 years, was it?
Mm,
I'll be corrected
yes.
on that. And then Jerry Jennings came in 1994, and he, well, that must have been 10 years for Whalen then, but I don't know. Yeah, because
so
he took over part of
Corning. Right.
Yeah, it seemed so short.
And then you had Jerry Jennings for 20 years. So longevity is certainly a trait of mayors of Albany.
There's something to be said about it.
Yes.
There's something to be
right.
said that, you know.
Continuity.
Somebody, yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk out and then Mayor
Sheehan
will walk
Mayor
in.
Mayor Sheehan walks
right.
in. She'll
tomorrow.
Be sworn in. And
but not
tomorrow
only
in a
that,
big ceremony
half of the city council is walking in.
That's right. That is an important point, Libby. Not only is the new mayor coming into office, but progressives have
yes.
done very well in this common council elections from around the city, and that will really, you know, drive the direction
the
of
work,
the city.
I have to say, the work we started 20 years ago, even further back for some people, has now come to fruition.
No, I agree with you, Libby. I think you should be very proud. And
I think, in fact, what's
happened is that the progressive community, they started with the school boards and with local
right.
elections and really
That's
local
right.
stuff, and they've worked their way
Committee
up.
Committee seats.
Now, it's put up or shut up.
Right. Now it remains to be seen if they can all get along and they can work together, and that somebody doesn't, or a few people don't go off on their own little ego trips. You know, we've got a new treasurer, Darius Shanfar. Leaf is still the controller. We've got Kathy. We've got seven or eight new city council members, and it'll be interesting to see how the dynamic develops.
And that's not only happening here. It's happening in New York City.
Every place.
It's happening other places in which
there's been a
people
sea
will feel their muscles.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reason to be hopeful, I think, in the new administration. Number three, getting back to just a moment ago, urban lifestyles attract more upscale building in downtowns. More people are moving downtown. There's a surge in construction of apartments. Young adults and empty nesters are seeking restaurants, cultural amenities, riverfront locations, and walkable neighborhoods. And this is happening in Albany, Schenectady, Troy, in the Capital Region. It's happening in cities all over, you know, the Northeast, certainly, and we're no exception. Even the city of Cahoes, which is between, you know, across from Troy and down up the river from Albany, has had a lot of renovation of old factories.
Right.
And yes, it's just north of Watervliet, Alan.
Which is just north of Menands, where I live. So we forgot about
Menands. But this is a revived interest in urban living, and the populations in cities have stabilized, and people are coming back downtown.
Well, I know one thing. According to the New York Times, there is not an apartment for sale, basically, in New York City. There are, of course, but, you know, I mean,
not that anyone of us can afford.
And if, that's right. Well, that's exactly right.
Well, that gets into the, you know, affordability of New York City. That's the downside of the sort of progress and financial success of the city. But getting back up north, number two on the Times Union's list is certainly what is known as the Secure Ammunition and Firearms Enforcement Act, better known as the SAFE Act, which was passed just weeks after the tragedies at Sandy Hook in 2012, and became law on January 15th. It's been very controversial. It hasn't been widely accepted by sheriffs around the state. It limits the availability of certain assault weapons. It doesn't take away assault weapons from the population, but they are required by this April to register them, and it also limits how many bullets can be in a magazine. And you know, it was passed quickly. It was done as a kind of an emergency act, and that really angered a lot of people. There's been protests, but it is the law, and it cost Governor Cuomo a lot of political capital.
It did, and I have to think it's the one place that we can really see him at his absolute best. That he had the courage to do it. It was a profiling courage, as far as I was concerned. I wrote it, I said it, and you know, I mean it. There are times when he's for something like cleaning up government, and sometimes I think he wants the issue more than he wants than he actually is committed to getting it done. But in this case, he got it done. He deserves a lot of credit for it. And I'll tell you one thing: there are two things in this world you don't want to take away from Americans. One of them is their cars, and the other is their guns. And when they do, it becomes that salient issue which we were talking about before.
And moving on to the what we found to be the number one story is the rise in technology and how it's kind of redefining the region's future. And by that, we're talking about, you know, Global Foundries in southern Saratoga County, a chip fabrication plant, which when it's finally finished, and it's nearing that right now, it's $9 billion investment. And now they're talking about a second one, which would be a $15 billion investment in the local community. Thousands of jobs. The word came out that Apple Computer is looking to have its the chips for its new generation of iPhones and iPads and et cetera, manufactured there. It's going to be big. It's also comes in at the same time as the great expansion of the SUNY College of Nanoscale Science and Engineering, and that's in Albany, and it's now separated from the University at Albany, and it's moving across New York State. The same.
And can I just add something to that? Mm-hmm. If there is a powerful person in our region, it's this guy who runs that.
Yes.
Untouchable.
Yes,
Elaine Calieros.
Absolutely.
And he deserves to be looked at. But I'll tell you something. Nobody is going to mess with this guy, considering the highest paid employee of New York State.
That's right.
And also a guy who has been responsible in large part for all you have said. But we've seen this before with people like Robert Moses and others. And I can tell you right now, everybody deserves to get looked at.
Right. The mighty fall quickly. But the one thing I want to just give a shout out to is Wally Altus and the Chamber.
Yes, Tech Valley.
Because they branded this area Tech Valley.
And people laughed at them,
That's
didn't
right. They?
They
certainly did.
And I think
but
this,
it did work because right. that it was the branding of the whole corridor as Tech Valley. Now we're seeing the fruits of those labors.
That's right. Wally Altus deserves a lot of credit.
Yes.
He was involved in the efforts back in the 90s to aim the area in this direction.
Former chairman of the Albany Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
Yes.
Chamber. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will wrap up our wrap-up of 2013, and we'll be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC goes in the Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. Edward Garbasek, certified financial planner, Havoc and Wealth Strategies, Wilbraham, Massachusetts, providing customized financial retirement strategies for those approaching or in retirement. HavocandWealthStrategies.com. And New York Pain Management, Drs. Charles Gordon and Quentin Fung, offering management of chronic pain and spine care in private office settings in Clifton Park and Glens Falls. 518-371-0777.
Welcome back to the roundtable. We only have about 3 or 4 minutes, so I thought we would just have a little fun because Sarah pulled this. It was on the Times Union website, and I thought it was great. It was 40 things turning 40 in 2014.
Oh, that was great.
Isn't this great?
Yes.
Okay, so here are some of the 40 things that are turning 40 in 2014. As I turned 46 today, so I know
so
all.
You were six.
I was alive when all these things happened. Blazing Saddles, 40 years old.
Whoa! And we know the guy who
right.
wrote
That's
it.
Right.
And a great guy.
That's right.
And you know, I mean, he's.
And Blazing Saddles was an answer on Jeopardy last night.
Was it?
Oh,
yes,
was it?
It was.
Oh, that's right. I watched
it
that. Yes, I did watch that.
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles.
Happy Days, 40 years
mm-hmm.
old.
Oh.
Unbelievable. G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu Grip, 40 years old.
Wow.
In 2014.
I know nothing.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
Well, you know the little.
The Kung Fu Grip.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Kung Fu Fighting. Go right ahead.
Barbara Streisand's The Way We Were. 40 years old.
Filmed in the Capitol region.
Like butter.
That's right.
Like butter.
People Magazine, 40
Yay.
Years old.
Oh, I remember when that came out. Who was on the first cover? I think it was...
Who was on the first
it
cover?
Was it
Barbara Streisand?
No, I don't think it was Barbara Streisand. But,
I don't know. It'll come to me now.
It
might have been R2-D2 and C-3PO.
It was the one time a wife of or a partner of Woody Allen.
And oh, Mia Farrow?
Mia Farrow.
There you go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
President Nixon's resignation.
Yep.
Yeah. 40
years. Wow, 40 years ago.
I'll never forget it.
Ah, oh, that was
Neither will I. So we'll be doing a lot of these stories that we'll be doing in the next... we were on vacation in Connecticut, and somebody had a TV, and they pulled it out and put it on the top of a car, and we all watched it. It was amazing.
Yeah, we'll all be doing the Where Were You when Nixon resigned.
Yeah.
$6 million man, 40 years old.
Well, how much would it be in today's dollars, Joe?
Now, that's a good question, Mike. Pop Rocks are 40 years old.
Pet Rocks.
Pop Rocks.
Pop Rocks.
You pop them in your
pop
mouth.
Pop Rocks are the
things.
Oh,
and
they.
Little
oh,
candy.
Yeah,
and they got.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Hong Kong Phooey.
Okay.
Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Scatman Crothers was the voice of Hong Kong Phooey.
You'd have be in
and
your 40s to know that.
Joe.
Yeah, see, this is you can tell I was six when this happened, right? And then Baryshnikov's defection to Canada was 40 years ago. Mm. Foot Locker is 40 years old. And name that tune. And here you go, Alan. This one's for you. The End of Little Orphan Annie.
Yeah, very, very bothersome.
Are you over it by now?
Very bothersome.
Well, it got a little weird at
but
the end.
But then Annie came on Broadway, and you'll never forget it.
Yeah, no, it got a little weird by the end. But
they were riding around hippie bands and everything.
I like Brenda Starr.
I remember Brenda Starr. Newsday
got
every
only
day.
A little bit of time, Joe.
I know. We only have 5 seconds. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Happy New Year.